Hear the word of the Lord for a meditation this day. From 1 Corinthians chapter 10, these words. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You tell us not to test You, that You tell us not to seek after evil things, that You tell us not to be sexually immoral, not to grumble, not to do the things that the Israelites did, even after they were chosen as Your people, baptized in the Red Sea, given the privilege of knowing Your law, and yet they chose to try to do it their own way. But Lord, You are always faithful, and You want us to know Your faithfulness and to trust in Your amazing love, grace, and power. So Lord, may we hear this word today. May it touch our hearts, and may it change our lives. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in Your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The year is 1976, October, in a little place called Camrose, Alberta, at a school called Sparling School. And this young man who was forced to move from Manitoba to Alberta, which for you might translate from Iowa to Montana, is in a new school, in a new place, trying to make new friends, when he walks out onto the playground, innocently walking past the backstop, when from behind he is grabbed, forced to the ground, sat upon, and punched out, with someone saying, "Say uncle!" And all he could think of was, "Uncle who?" That was my introduction to elementary school in Alberta. The name of the guy who did this was named Timothy McCarty, and it's burned into my memory. So much so that when we talked about naming our firstborn, I had difficulty with the name. I said, "I don't want to name Timothy." We used to go by Tim McCarty, so that's why I always call my son Timothy. So I was scarred for life. But that was my introduction to the saying, "Say uncle." I didn't know what it meant. I never had that type of experience. Here he is pounding on me, saying, "Say uncle," and I'm thinking, "Uncle who?" I really didn't know that that was what you said, at least in that playground, when you wanted to eat your pride and admit failure and basically stop the beating, you said, "Uncle." Any of you have that experience growing up? Was that something that you understood? Some of you? That when you were in the process of being, you know, taken down, if you said uncle, they would let you go? I remember that to this day because I was so confused. That was not something that I had learned. It was a hard way to learn. But you know, in the Christian life, there are often times where it feels like in our struggle with evil, feels like with our struggle with temptation, it feels like when we're struggling with the things of this world, the tendency that we have to do what the Corinthians were doing, to put our faith in riches, to put our faith in government, to put our faith in our own abilities, to do the things that we think we can handle or control, to feel like we somehow can do this our own way, that we fall prey to basically having Satan come behind us and do what Timothy did to me. Satan likes to get us into a place, as he did with the people in the desert who had come out of Egypt, who had seen God's power, who had been chosen by God, who God had heard their prayers, who had sent Moses to them, and who had led them through the Red Sea in a miraculous way. I mean, how many of us could honestly say if God had led us through the Red Sea like he led Egypt, or he led the people of Israel out of Egypt, how many of us could say, yeah, we would accept him and understand his power? And yet, shortly thereafter, what are they doing? Worshipping an idol, right? As soon as Moses disappears for a while, what do? They make a golden calf and they start to worship it. I mean, I have experienced God's power over and over and over and over again. I experienced miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle in my ministry. And yet, even this week, I found myself trying to control and take back and, I don't know, get my hands on what was going on so that I could somehow control what God was doing. And I did it out of fear. I did it because I was scared to really say uncle and let God do what he wants to do. Because I was thinking, well, you know, I understand Satan getting behind us because I always equate Timothy McCarty with Satan in my life. Because he beat on me for years. I mean, this was not just a one-time deal. But everybody's laughing. He was nuts. Come on. In grade five, the guy should have been in prison. But I hope he never hears this recording. I'm in trouble. it's true, though. I'll be back. Yeah. He was kind of like that. But you know what? It's interesting because I was reading in Genesis not too long ago in my devotions that I read through the year, and it was Genesis chapter 32. And remember what Jacob, who had stolen his blessing from that was supposed to be given to Esau? Remember Jacob who fled and married and got married and was now coming back to meet his brother Esau, who had every right to take vengeance on him? How just before he met Esau in Genesis chapter 32, he's in his tent and he's at a place where someone comes to him, and what do? You can look in your Bibles if you don't remember. Genesis chapter 32. What happens to Jacob where he actually gets renamed Israel? He wrestles with the angel. Yeah, he wrestles with God, it says, actually. Because he says at the end of it, once he receives his blessing, if you remember the story in Genesis 32, this angel, or the Lord, it says, comes to him and wrestles with him all night. And finally, at the end, he touches him and disables him. And even then, Jacob, who we know has done this historically, because when he came out of the womb, if you read the story of Jacob and Esau, remember, Esau came out first. And what was Jacob doing? He was clinging on to him, right? It was like, the Bible says, like they were wrestling in the womb. And it's interesting because in Genesis 32, in this story, he wrestles with God. He himself says after, he says, I'm not going to let you go until you give me a blessing. And he gives him a blessing and says, from now on, your name will be Israel, not Jacob. And Jacob turns and says, I saw God with my own eyes. I saw the face of God with my own eyes and did not die. That's why we think it was just more than an angel, right? So I think sometimes we forget that we do wrestle with sin, temptation, with Satan, with evil things. But how many of us, in the process of wrestling with those things, often wrestle with God? Do you think we do that? Just because we're so used to wrestling with these things that we sometimes mistake God's love and grace and his desire to show us his power and to show us his presence, that sometimes we wrestle against him as well because of our sinful nature. And so I guess what I was thinking when I entitled the sermon Saying Uncle, I was thinking that that's really what St. Paul is saying to the people in Corinth. He's saying to them, you can look at the example of the people of Israel and what they did, even though God showed up over and over and over and over and over again, even though God fed the manna every morning and twice on Friday, they still, even though they got water in the desert, even though they got to take all the wonderful blessings of God, they still found themselves wrestling with God, wrestling with temptation, wrestling with sin, and giving into it, right? So much so that over 20,000 of them die. But he says, these are examples for us who are on this side of the tomb. These are examples for us who are on this side of the cross, that we have the power as children of God, that we have the power of those who have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the power to recognize when we are going down that road towards wrestling with God, that we cannot, we don't have to do what Jacob did and wrestle him all night. We can simply come to a point of saying, Uncle. Uncle Yahweh. Right? And last night, Abby sang a song. I think it was her first song, and it was called, did anybody remember what it was called? You missed a good concert if you weren't here last night. What was it? Pridectomy. Yeah, I thought that was a great song, wasn't it? And I think that's really what this whole idea that St. Paul's trying to get across to the people in Corinth and he's trying to get across to us is he really wants us to have a pridectomy. That's right. That's the word that she used. I thought that was great. You know, it's really saying uncle, allowing the Lord to show us his plan, allowing the Lord to show us his power, allowing the Lord to heal us. How many of us, when we ask the Lord to do something, think we got to try to do it on our own first? Well, Lord, I'd like you to heal me, but I'm just going to try all these other things first. Or, Lord, I would like you to take care of the situation, but I'm just going to try and manipulate it as much as I can first. Or, Lord, I really think that this is what you want, but let me just try it on my own first. Any of you guilty of that? I am. And I believe what the Lord is saying to the people in Corinth is so powerful, because what does he say? Through St. Paul, this is what he says. These things happen to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. He is saying to us, we are not the same as the people of Israel. We have the Holy Spirit. It was Moses who said he wished the Holy Spirit would be on all the people, right? We have that. It's our promise. It's our right. We have received it in baptism. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the promise of God. We have the presence of God in our midst. Just like they did in the desert. And he goes on to say, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. It's interesting because when he says except what is common to man, what he means is God understands exactly what we're going through, right? Isn't that what the author of Hebrews says about Jesus? Why did he have to go through all this stuff? So he can relate to what we go through, right? He was tempted yet without sin, but he was tempted. So we know that he understands when we're going through these times. We don't have to say to God, well, you know, you don't really understand this, but, you know, this is what I'm going through. When this is the same terminology that's used in Hebrews to recognize that Jesus understands, and that's why he's the greatest high priest we can have, because he understands exactly what we go through. There's nothing that we're going to go through that he doesn't already understand. Nothing. And so it's important for us as God's people to understand that God is faithful. This is what he says. He says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Doesn't this give you a warm feeling when you hear this? Do you really believe this? Do you really trust in this? Because do we act like we believe this? I must confess, there are many times when I have to be reminded of this. And the reason I have to be reminded of it is because when I get into something where I'm tempted, it seems like I'm being tempted beyond my ability to resist, I'll oftentimes just get, I hunker down and just get more frustrated and just try harder. That's the intuitive thing to do, right? We're up against it. Isn't it hard? Like when I would get taken down by Timothy McCarty, the worst thing I could ever do, and I did it constantly, was fight back. It's kind of like when a person's drowning. I took lifeguard training, and what they said is the most common thing that happens when a person's drowning and you try to save them, what do? Pardon me? They grab onto you or they'll fight you. They said that. They said, you know, you may have to knock this person out to save them. I remember thinking, that'd be fun. Yeah, right. Gotta try it sometime. It ain't that easy, you know? But they said that because they'll struggle, right? Isn't that our natural tendency when we feel like we're being overwhelmed? As we struggle, we lash out, we try to fix it ourselves. And yet, what the Lord is saying to us is so hard as sinful human beings to accept, but it's so important because he says, and remember what I said about when you come into a piece of scripture, when you come to a piece of scripture where it says, but, remember what I said? You circle it because something important is coming, right? And he has just said that God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he's admitting that you're going to be tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. How many of us know that sometimes the way out is just like Donnie with his mother carrying him out of that store? Kicking and screaming. Sometimes the way out is not the most pleasant experience, right? Sometimes the way out isn't the easiest option, right? But God always provides a way out. I've experienced this over my life where I think I have the answer. I think I've got it figured out. I think I got it under control. I think I can handle this. I think I can do it. God, you know, I'll call on you, but you know, I think I got it under control. And guess what? What happens? It fails miserably. It fails to the point where I finally have to say uncle and let go and let God. And I guess my prayer for you, as it was, as St. Paul's prayer was for the people here in Corinth, is a mature Christian who believes what has just been said, who believes that St. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is telling us the truth. We as mature Christians ought to be disciplined enough to let go and let God. We as Christians, knowing the love, knowing the grace, knowing the power of our risen Lord and Savior, knowing this side of the cross, this side of the empty tomb, knowing the power that God has to do amazing things in our lives, to know the love that he has for us and that he has the best laid plans for us, that he wants the best for us, how many of us can honestly say we're ready to let go and let God? It's time. It's time to have the pridectomy. It's time. It's time to let go. It's time to say uncle. Because when we do, we'll start to see the power. It won't be natural, it'll be supernatural. And we'll really see the power that God has to heal, to take care of things, to do things that are beyond our wildest expectations. Brothers and sisters, I know it's counterintuitive. I know it's difficult. I know that it's not part of who we are as sinful human beings, but I beg of you, say uncle. Say uncle, it's time. It's time to let go. It's time to let God show us his power. It's time to let him show us his grace. It's time to let him pour out his love upon us. It's time for him to take control. It's time for him to lead. And I'm committing to you as your pastor, I'm going to do what I can, and I need you to help me with this, is to let go of things. I have to tell you, I've been consumed by so many things, you know, the volume in this building. I wrote an email, I don't know if some of you got it, but, you know, the volume, you know, we have a beautiful building, and it's acoustically very, very pleasing, but also a real hard building when it comes to volume, if you noticed. And I'm loud. And we got such wonderful, blessed, and gifted musicians. And they can really get going. And they're loud. And we got a building that's loud. And so poor people coming here and going, oh, my head's pounding. And I'm getting all anxious, right? Because I'm thinking, we got to fix this. We got to fix this. And we are working on it because we have to. But I have to tell you, it was so hard for me to let go and let God. To say, okay, because there's just something about me that I just like to wrestle, I guess. I don't know. I just like to wrestle. I like to try to figure it out on my own. I want to just do it on my own. And yet what the Lord was saying to me and teaching me over this week was to let go and let Him. Doesn't mean you don't work on these things. Doesn't mean that we take His instruction, which is that He wants us to have a reverent worship experience. And so Johannes and the worship team and all of us are working on it. We're not going to let go of this. I'm not going to let it, you know, just go to the side. But what I had to do is let go and stop panicking and stop worrying. Because isn't that what St. Paul taught the Philippians? Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests to God. And what will He provide for us? The peace of God which passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, it's time to say uncle. It's time to let go and let God. It's time to see His power and His majesty, His glory, His love shine in His people. And I'll tell you something about the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to close with this. The Holy Spirit, I read a book a long time ago, and I think I've mentioned it before, called The Holy Spirit, the Shy Member of the Trinity. The Shy Member of the Trinity. And there's something amazing about the Holy Spirit, in that the Holy Spirit will not force, He will not force us to do the right thing. You know, we pray that the Holy Spirit would move on the hearts of people, and I believe that He does. Okay? I believe the Holy Spirit's working on the hearts of people, but God did not create robots. And the Holy Spirit is a shy member of the Trinity. Unless we are willing to say uncle and to let go so that He can lead, I guarantee you He will not force His will upon us. You believe me? He will not force His will upon us. I would love it, you know, if I had the inside track and I could say, Holy Spirit, change him! Change her! You know, just zap him. I prayed that, by the way. It doesn't work. But, you know, you know, it would be so cool if that was the way the Holy Spirit worked. It was just like, zap, 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 you know. Like a ray gun, you know. Wouldn't that be cool? But I figured out something. The Holy Spirit wants us to let go, to say uncle, and to let Him show us His power. Let Him enlighten us to the love, the grace, and the mercy of our God, who did all those things for the people of Israel and never gave up on them. You know that? Didn't let them, only two, Joshua and Caleb, got to go into the promised land, remember? That's the fact. But He never gave up on them. He still defended them. He still watched over them. He still, you know, there were consequences for their actions, but He still provided for them. They still got manna in the desert. They still were taken care of. They still were provided for. Brothers and sisters, we're on this side of the cross. We're on this side of the empty tomb. We're on this side of the ascension. We're on this side of Pentecost. We know the power. And it's time to say, uncle. It's time to recognize that the Lord is going to help us and give us an escape, a way out. The word here is egress. The word escape or exit. He's going to give us, when we get into a situation, He's going to give us the opportunity to turn to Him and say, Lord, it's your turn. Time for a pitch hitter here. You take it. You make it happen. Because I can't do it. We can't do it. Time to say, uncle. Time to let go and let God. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You've done it all. That You're willing to go to the cross for us, that You're willing to die on the cross, shed Your blood for our forgiveness. You won victory over sin, death, and devil through the empty tomb. And Lord, You ascended to the right hand of God, and You poured out Your Holy Spirit upon us, and You have given us the opportunity as people today to say, uncle, to let go, to know that You provide us a way out, to know that You have everything under control, that you want us to have a peace that the world can understand, a peace that passes all understanding, and that's by simply taking those things that we hold on to and letting go of them and surrendering them to you and giving them to you at the foot of the cross. Lord, bless us now with the ability and the power to let go and to let you shine in our lives, to let your power fill us so that we can see healing, we can see lives changed, we can see the power of your word, the power of your sacrament, the power that you have to change lives and to do amazing, miraculous things in families and in marriages and in our lives in general, Lord. We want to see your power. We want to let go and see you move in mighty ways. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we confess our faith in the word.